guess I worshiped too hard. I lost my voice. I'm going to work on it here, see what I can do. Thank you. Now, I'm sorry. I apologize. You just have to put up with it because I'm not stopping, so we're just going to go roll with the punches here. Before I left, we were in the middle of a series on what we believe, and we're kind of using the Apostles' Creed as a kind of a guideline for that. Okay, we talked about I believe in God the Father, Almighty Creator of heaven and earth. And we talked about I believe in Jesus Christ, His only Son. We talked about all those first things. Today, the statement is, I believe in the Holy Spirit. Let me tell you, I'm not sure what God's doing because I was really fired up to preach this with a lot of fervor and whatnot, and I'm not sure what's going to happen here. But it's obvious and very evident that the Holy Spirit has already been working before I even said a word. And so God gets the credit, God gets the glory for all of it. It is key to believe in the Holy Spirit. But it is paramount to know what we believe about the Holy Spirit. Okay? We can say, I believe in the Holy Spirit. Well, to one person, that may mean one thing. And to another person, that's something different. And where is the truth? Which is the truth? Well, it's important to know what we believe about the Holy Spirit and that we believe that what we believe lines up with the Word of God. Okay? That's the basis. That's the foundation. We always must go back to the Word of God. A lot of people have a lot of beliefs about the Holy Spirit, but just because I believe something doesn't make it so. The Word is truth, so let's base our beliefs on the Word of God. The Holy Spirit is the very Spirit of God Almighty, who chooses to reside in the heart of every believer. You see, a lot of times, a lot of people, tell you what, if you will, I'm just going to not speak as loud. If you need to turn me up a little bit, that's fine, but I'm not going to, because I really want to make it through this. A lot of people believe that the Holy Spirit is a third-rate part of God, that there's a hierarchy in the Godhead, that you have God the Father, who's the boss, then you have God the Son, who's like second in command, and then somewhere you have the Holy Spirit who does all the dirty work. No, I'm serious. There's some people that believe that. There may be some people in this room that thought, well, is that not true? Is that not right? Okay. And what I'm telling you is that the Holy Spirit is the Spirit of the very creative, powerful, omnipresent, all-knowing God of the universe. When I say God of the universe, that almost puts like limits on it. He's the God of every universe. He made the universes. It's that very Spirit. Now, part of our problem is we can't fathom that. We can't fathom that the God who created me wants to reside within me and continue to empower me from the inside out. In John chapter 15, verse 26, Jesus was telling his disciples, he said, when the Advocate comes, whom I will send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth who goes out from the Father, he will testify about me. He is the Spirit of truth, and he's going to tell you the truth about me. Acts chapter 1, this is a very famous verse, chapter 1 verse 8. Jesus was telling them, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. And we really like that verse. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you. Woohoo! That's what we like. We want that. How many of you want to receive the power of the Holy Spirit? That's what we want to hear. We want the power. We want the power, we want the comfort, we want the guidance, we want the directions, we want the gifts of the Spirit. But does the Spirit come compartmentalized? Does he come with, okay, I'm the Holy Spirit and I'm going to empower you. I'm going to do to you, I'm going to be this. And to you, I'm going to be this. I'm going to give you these parts and these parts I'm going to withhold from you. Is that the way the Spirit comes? By that I mean, do we get the power of the Holy Spirit if we don't submit to the conviction of the Holy Spirit? Now I've gone from preaching to meddling, and I'm starting to step on some toes, okay? Because what we say is, yes, I want the power. Lord, send your rain. We want the Spirit. We want a Spirit, you are welcome in this place. We want that. We want that. Oh, no, I'm not going to change what I'm doing. I'm not going to change my ways. But just come and do it anyway. And you see, and I'm not sure God works that way. We get the fullness of the Spirit when we're submissive to Him. If we are not submissive and responsive, listen, this gets, it's going to get deep here. If we're not submissive and responsive to the conviction of the Holy Spirit, you know what that's called? Resisting the Spirit. If you resist the conviction of the Holy Spirit, what makes you think you get the power of the Holy Spirit? Does God want to give it? Absolutely, He wants to give it. The problem is not with Him giving it or not giving it. The problem is with us receiving it. Okay? And receiving it just doesn't mean, yes, I want it. Come on, dump it on me. It means, I want it. I need it. I realize that I can't live without it. And I'm going to form my life. I'm going to change whatever in my life I need to change to put it in the lining, to put it in direction with what the Spirit wants, so that He can empower me to do His will. If you resist or reject any part of the Holy Spirit, which conviction is part of what the Holy Spirit does. Okay, if you resist or reject any part of that, of the Holy Spirit, which is the Spirit of God Himself, that you are resisting or rejecting God. Okay? It's not a different. It's not, well, no way. I'm not going to submit to the Spirit, but I will to God the Father. It's the same. It's the same Spirit. It's the same God. You cannot say, I want the salvation of Jesus, but I don't want the conviction of the Holy Spirit. And I hope that God understands this, because the Bible says He loves me. God is love, and He'll understand. He'll have an understanding heart. And He knows that I just, that I'm this way. He knows that I'm this kind of person. And He'll understand. And I still want the Spirit to empower me to do this stuff that I know is against His will anyway. You see, that's not really that far-fetched. Because there are a lot of people that are living out there saying, Lord, empower me and strengthen me and encourage me. I'm not going to change the way I'm living. I'm not going to do anything different. But still strengthen me anyway. I've got a great example for that in just a moment. You know what God says, I think? That's not how this works. That's not how any of this works. The good thing is He doesn't say, I defriend you. That's from a commercial. And some of you got it, some of you didn't. YouTube it, you'll find it. You either receive the fullness of God or you reject the fullness of God. Okay? There's no compartmentalized. There's no portionated out. I just made up a word, portionated. It's not proportioned to you. God sends His Spirit, and it's in the fullness. Whether you receive it or not is up to you. Many of you, many of us, are living our lives trying to pick and choose which parts we want and which parts we just... well, I can do without. I don't need those parts of the Holy Spirit. And let me be straight with you. You need everything God has designed for you. I need everything God has designed for me. I need power. I need encouragement. I need miraculous touch in my life. I need conviction of my sin so that I can be called to repentance and receive the forgiveness and then the power that comes with a repentant heart. I need all of those things. And we have some hard questions to ask ourselves. Have I received the fullness of the Holy Spirit? If not, why not? What is it about the Holy Spirit that I am currently rejecting? Is it the conviction? Is it I'm afraid of that He may want me to do something? If I'm currently rejecting God or any part of God, have I truly received Him as my Lord and my Savior? Jesus, I want You to save me, but I don't want the Holy Spirit because I know He's going to make me change some things about my life. I know that He might ask me to step out into some unfamiliar territory, and I really don't want to do that. Just save me, and that's good enough for me, and I'll just meet You in heaven when I get there. Y'all are looking at me like, who would be thinking that? Quite possibly the person next to you. Quite possibly yourself. Quite possibly your pastor at some point, at one point in time. And I will tell you that as Baptists, I believe that in Baptist tradition, Baptist theology, Baptist whatever, has really done a disservice to the Holy Spirit. And I'm Baptist, folks. But I will tell you that where I'm Baptist in my theology, the theology that comes from Scripture, I am firm and strong and sound in my theology. Okay? But there's been this fear, I believe. We've been afraid of the Holy Spirit for many reasons. And some have even thought, the Holy Spirit might want me to do something I'm not comfortable with. He might want me to give up something that I really, really like. Or you might be thinking this, well, I've seen some people that look like they were trying to conjure up the Spirit. I've been to some meetings and they were just went like nuts and off the walls, and I saw some really crazy stuff, and it really didn't look that holy to me. And I don't want to look like that, so I'm not even going to go into that realm. I'm not even going to approach that. What we need to do is stop trying to define what the Holy Spirit looks, feels, and acts like and say, Lord, I want You and I give all of myself to You, no matter what it looks like. In the Old Testament, the Holy Spirit had temporary appearances. It would come, it would fall on somebody, and they would do this great and mighty thing, and then the Spirit would leave. And it would fall on this person, fall on that person. You know, Samson, for example. The Holy Spirit came upon him, gave him strength, and he killed a whole bunch of people with the jawbone of a donkey, and he did some great and mighty things, but you know what? He also had a lot of issues. But the Holy Spirit was with a person at a time in the Old Testament. When Jesus came in the New Testament, the Holy Spirit now comes to every believer to stay. To stay, to reside within them. Jesus said that He must go to the Father so that the Holy Spirit could come. Where Jesus was with His disciples, He was a physical being, He was with His disciples, He must go so that the Holy Spirit could come and He would be in His disciples. You see, when Jesus was with these 12 disciples, He wasn't with these people over here. If Jesus had taken Peter, James, and John, and they went off over here into this little section a little deeper, Jesus was with them, but He wasn't with the other disciples over here because they were separated. And Jesus said, you know, this, I've got a better way. Let's do it this way. Let me go back to My Father, and I'm going to send You the Spirit. Where I was with you from time to time or in different places, now the Holy Spirit will be in you 24/7, 365 and a quarter. We're not going to leave out leap year. We're just going to cover it all the way around. I'll be with you always, no matter where you go. In John chapter 14, we're going to turn back a chapter, John chapter 14, verses 16 and 17, Jesus said, I will ask the Father, and He will give you another advocate to help you and be with you forever, the Spirit of truth. The world cannot accept Him because it neither sees Him nor knows Him, but you know Him, for He lives with you and will be in you. Is He in you? Is the question. Imagine yourself being a parent. Some of you don't have to imagine. Some of you are there. Some of you had to think back to when you were a parent and had kids in the house. And some of you, guess what you got to look forward to, okay? Imagine yourself being a parent who of this child who accepts your shelter, your food, your protection, but refuses to follow your house rules. He or she comes and goes as he or she desires, comes home to eat and get gas money for the car that you pay for and you pay the insurance on, who says the only thing he or she wants from you is what is required to meet their physical needs, but don't expect anything back from them. Let me ask you, how healthy is that relationship? It's not healthy, and it just doesn't work. In a way, the same is true with God Almighty. Are you in this relationship just to have your needs met? Are you in it because you needed an emotional high, and it makes you feel good, but don't expect anything from me? Don't expect me to get involved. Don't expect me to volunteer or respond when I'm voluntold. I love that word. Don't expect me to change anything. I just want to do what I want to do and still get the blessings of God. Or have you fully subjected yourself to the Father, received Jesus Christ as your Savior and as your Lord, and fully submitted to the conviction and the leadership of the Holy Spirit? You see, there is a whole nother chapter there. The Holy Spirit still comes in power, folks, just like we read about, but only when He finds us willing to accept His rules, not making up our own. When we say, "Have your way in me, whatever it looks like, whatever it feels like, I am yours." That is what surrender is. There's a movie that I like to watch. It's called The Count of Monte Cristo. Okay, how many of you have seen The Count of Monte Cristo? Okay, in this movie, the hero of the story, I can't recall his name, the Count, okay? Before he was a Count, but he escaped from this prison, the Isle of Elba, I think is what it was. Anyway, he escaped and swam over, and he's laying on the beach, and he thinks he's free, and then he looks up, and there's this band of pirates in front of him. And they're trying to decide, okay, how are we going to kill this pirate who kind of, I think he decided to keep some money for himself or something, okay? How are we going to kill him? And they said, well, guess what? Now we've got somebody here. And they said, well, what we're going to do is we're going to let them fight it out, have a knife fight. And the bad pirate's name is Jacopo, and he's in the count. They start having this knife fight. Well, the count, he beats Jacopo, who's supposed to be the best fighter of the bunch. He beats him, and then at the end, he doesn't kill him. He stabs the ground next to him, and Jacopo says this: "As surely as I live, and on the life of my dead relatives, even the ones who aren't feeling so well," kind of funny, "I am your man forever." He said, "I am yours forever." And he was true to his word. He served the Count of Monte Cristo as his bodyguard, as his advisor. He served him for the rest of their time. See, that's what God wants from us. You deserve to die, but I saved you. And our response to Him is, "I am yours forever. Whatever you require or want or desire of me, it's yours. Have your way, whatever it looks like or feels like." That is what true surrender is. Have you fully surrendered yourself? If you have not, why not today? Why not right now? You want the fullness of the Spirit? How many of you want the fullness of the Spirit? Come on, show me. How many of you want the fullness of the Spirit? Guess what? He wants the fullness of you. He wants the fullness of you. Are you ready to do that? We've had several who stood in the baptistry this morning and said, I confess Jesus is my Lord and my Savior. You know what that means? He saved me, and now I am His forever. He is my Lord. He's my boss. I do what He says when He says it. When He says jump, I don't say how high. I just jump as high as I can. I am yours forever. What is the level of your surrender? Chances are, the amount of the Holy Spirit's work in your life, the amount of the blessings, the gifts of the Holy Spirit in your life is directly proportionate to the amount of your surrender to Him. He wants all of you. He's willing to give you all of Him. All He says is just give me all of you. Why not today? Why not here? And why not now? Father in heaven, we thank You for this day. Lord, I thank You for the Holy Spirit. I thank You, Father. Lord, a lot of times when we preach and talk about the Holy Spirit, we're talking about the powerful things, the mighty things that can be done through the Spirit, the things that the Spirit does for us and to us and through us. And Father, we're not discounting all those things, but Father, I want to get down to where it begins. And it begins at the heart of every believer and where we are in surrendering ourselves to the work of the Spirit. So Father, I pray that You would find us today, maybe even recommitting everything about our lives quietly in our place today, saying, Lord, I have not been giving You all of me, but I've still been expecting all of You. And I understand, Lord, I really can't have all of You until I have emptied myself of me and I've given You all of who I am. So Father, I pray if there's someone in this room today that has made that decision right now in this time, Father, that they would respond to that. That they would act upon that. That they would call upon the name of the Lord and say, Lord, I am recommitting my life to You. Father, there may be somebody here this morning that says, I've never even done that to begin with. No wonder my life is the way it is. Because I've not been living a life that honors God. I've never really even surrendered myself to Him. And I want to do that today. Lord, I pray that if there's someone in the room that needs to make that decision, that would happen today. Father, whatever decision needs to be made, Father, I pray that You would empower us and enable us to make that decision to resolve within our hearts today that I am Yours forever. Father, You are ours forever. You made that known. You went through every hoop. You jumped through every hoop. You accomplished everything that stood in the way between You and us. Now, Father, if there's anything in the way, it's not Your fault. It's us. It's us. Father, Your word says that none come but that the Spirit draws them. So, Father, we know that part of what the Holy Spirit does is it draws men and women to conviction, to where we repent of our sins and we come to You and say, I trust in You as my Lord and my Savior. Father, do Your work. The work that only You can do. I cannot convince anybody in this room to get saved. I cannot convict anybody of their sins. Oh, but Father, You can. And that's what You do. Father, do Your work in this place. And we pray it in Jesus' name.